Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, Grapple fans. Welcome to another edition of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the AI Index podcast channel. I am your host, Andy Wills, joined as always by my audio tag team partner, Mo Chatra. Mo, good to have you along again.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, good to be back.
And once again, Mo, we are not alone because tonight we are joined by none other than Anfield Index legend. There's one for you. Would you class him as an Anfield Index Hall of Famer?
Oh, first ballot. Absolutely, yeah.
It is, of course, the one and only Dave Hendrick. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, lads. How's things?
Good.
Not so bad. How does that sound for you, Anfield Index Hall of Famer?
I'm sure some people might dispute it, but it does sound nice. It does.
Well, I'm sure we'll have a word with Gags and see if we can get you a ceremony or something like that.
Yeah, he might be one of the ones that disputes it. I think himself and Richie were really the original two who put it together, and then they sort of just got me involved to have someone who would say things people wouldn't like, so we get a bit of attention. But it's interesting, like where AI has gotten and how far it's come in what 4 years we've been doing this. It's credit to a lot of people. I think if you were doing an AI Hall of Fame, it'd be pretty full after the first two go rounds.
Yeah, and this show is testament to just how diverse it has become as well. So let's crack things along. We know we've got Fastlane coming up this weekend, and of course we are going to preview that tonight. Don't worry, folks. But before we get there, let's go through Raw. It was the go-home show, of course. Opened again with, it technically opened with Bill Goldberg with another credible promo from Goldberg, surprisingly. But also we're in there, Kevin Owens with a great retort. And more, I want to say that they're kind of building this one quite nicely, considering I never really have too much in the way of eager anticipation when it comes to Goldberg matches.
Well, that's right. I mean, the build-up's normally better than the payoff where Goldberg's concerned. But you're absolutely spot on. I mean, his promos, especially this one, have been better than they used to be in his WCW and then latterly in his early WWE days. It's good that they inject certain elements into the storyline which have a hint of reality to them. Owens focused on the fact that Goldberg, like several top WWE performers, is a part-timer, and that kind of stuff makes it feel a bit more real then, a more contrived kind of angle to the storyline. That was quite a good segment, I thought, and set things up nicely for the show this weekend.
And I've got to say as well, I mentioned last week that I thought there was a little subtle hint there from KO on, he knew how to play the game. And then in this promo, we had the evolution of Kevin Owens. Are these little subtle hints, or is he just playing with us?
No, I think some of these words that are being dropped in there that there is a certain purpose to them. It's not entirely coincidental, and certainly would suggest that if not before WrestleMania, then almost surely after it, perhaps as the post-Raw WrestleMania, post-WrestleMania Raw even, would be the likely time when we'll see all of these hints materialize into something quite prominent. You know, exactly how that will materialize, whether it's the touted NXT invasion or an NXT type stable fighting against non-NXT types, you know, that could certainly give a different dynamic to the brand, and it needs something quite radically different, because you know, most weeks, you know, we get a show where they've got, you know, some good matches, they've got some decent segments, some interesting interviews, but it's pretty repetitive, isn't it? So having something to really mix it up, and something really meaty to you know, be the focal point of Raw, that's something that, you know, is well overdue.
And Dave, where do you stand on this, the Goldberg side of things?
He's definitely improved his promos from when he was in WCW, when he had his first run in WWE. I think he's not, like, he's probably not taking as many steroids now as he was back then. So his mind is probably a little bit clearer. He's not as jacked up as he was back then. He's more calm. And he has more than like two catchphrases. He's never going to be like good on the mic, but I think the time he spent doing commentary for MMA, I think that has helped him massively, making him more comfortable and things like that. This weird side turn with KO isn't something I'm enjoying, but I can kind of see why they're doing it. It's not what I would have done, but I can see why they're doing it to sell the Goldberg match with Lesnar. I think they want to have the title on Goldberg to make that match actually something people will watch, because given the last two times they've faced, I think they've both been extremely one-sided, and people will be wondering, well, why are you having a third match? What's the point of it? If Goldberg has the belt, then all of a sudden the match becomes more relevant because it's a world title fight. It'll take the belt off KO, and I think then allow him to put together this new group that has been hinted at on more than one occasion. I think that's where they'll go. He'll KO against Jericho, and then he'll move into this new, I suppose, the new Nexus is what it'll be. And then, you know, the title goes Lesnar, Goldberg, Lesnar, and then God knows what they'll do with it afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, logically, it does look set up for the title to be put on Goldberg. Interesting that he was talking about how he promised it, and he's always delivered on his promises, and obviously that's an old-school babyface thing, you know, that the babyfaces always deliver their promises, and, you know, they shouldn't make promises that they know that they're not going to be able to fulfill. So it's kind of interesting that he's gone so strong on saying that he's going to do this. So it certainly points to it, which then almost gets you thinking, well, WWE kind of like their swerves at the moment, don't they? So, but you think it's almost nailed on that really what we're looking at here is just the setup for a title switch.
Yeah, I think so. I think they've set up the Jericho Owens thing over, you know, the beatdown, obviously. But then before that, it was Jericho who agreed to Owens having the match with Goldberg. And the whole friendship thing has always been setting up for a massive blowout. I don't think they see Jericho as someone who can carry the world title anymore. But I think for sure he could beat Owens in a big match. And I think by taking the belt off Owens going into Mania against Jericho, it does kind of even things out. Well, Jericho will go in potentially as the favorite in that match. And then Owens not having the belt, coming off a big loss, wanting revenge on Jericho, because he'll be blaming Jericho for having lost the title. I think that's where it goes. I can't see any other way than that. I can't see anything other than Goldberg walking out of Fastlane as champion. And, like, I don't like it at all because, you know, Goldberg's not even a part-timer. He's a guy who went away for a decade, more than a decade, came back, hasn't had a real match since coming back. And they'll probably give him the belt, and he'll go on to Mania and have a terrible match with Lesnar, and Lesnar will take the belt, Goldberg will disappear, and then Lesnar will see on TV once a month when he comes on and doesn't say anything and Heyman talks. Now, look, I'll watch Paul Heyman talk all day, but Lesnar standing there looking menacing isn't something that in any way enthuses me to watch the product.
No, and more it's, you know, if this does kind of pan out how we expect, it's it looks like more title flip-flopping, which has really been the theme of things on both shows, hasn't it, this year?
That's right, yes. We've had quite a large number of title changes compared to what we normally see. And obviously we had a discussion about that quite recently on Pro Wrestling Index. And it's perhaps to kind of just try and mix things up. I mean, ratings since the NFL season ended haven't really picked up. Normally there's a good 10, 15, sometimes even 20% increase in ratings after the NFL season ends with the end of Monday Night Football especially. And there just hasn't been that. It's been quite flat. So that might explain part of the reason for increased numbers of title changes. But I certainly expect that after WrestleMania, that should settle down. And if it doesn't, then that would suggest that they're getting more desperate to see a bump in ratings.
Do you know what bothers me, though, Mo, is, you know, they try and use title changes to boost the ratings. But for me, what will bring ratings is having strong champions and having strong storylines, not having belts been thrown around left and right. And, I mean, they've screwed themselves a couple of ways. Number one, with this brand split, like, whoever's idea it was, we've been here before. It didn't work the last time. I don't see why it'll work this time. But, like, the women's division's not strong enough to be split across two brands. The tag team division's not strong enough to be split across two brands. I mean, why not put all the women on one brand and all the tag teams on another brand? Like, why not do it properly? This for me, just doesn't work, like, the way they're doing things. And I know SmackDown's ratings have gotten a bit better, but Raw's ratings are still in the toilet. And, like, what do they expect to happen if they flip the belt on to Goldberg, then flip it on to Lesnar, and then it's going to get flipped again? Because, like, realistically, how long can you put the belt on Lesnar for if he's going to be part-time? Unless he's coming back every single week, you can't have the belt on him for more than a couple of months.
Well, that's right. You know, the brand split is something that, as time goes on, is proven to be a failure. I mean, house show attendances, especially for SmackDown, have been down. Raw's been fairly static. I mean, SmackDown have seen a slight pickup since Cena returned and became a regular, but how long that's going to last, who knows? I mean, you know, just another successful audition in Hollywood and he'll be gone for another 3 or 4 months, as, you know, Miz was alluding to the other day.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, sorry.
Like, with the Universal title, I do wonder how much their plans got thrown out the window with the injury to Finn Balor, who, by the way, we were told he's going to be out for 6 months. It has to be longer than that by now that he's been out. So I wonder, had they planned, like, a long title run for him, that obviously didn't work out. Owens has held that belt for a while now, but it's just, like, for me, the last time I was really actually interested and looked forward to watching Raw was when Punk had the title. And he had the title for over a year. And for me, that's what WWE was always, when it was at its best, it had a strong champion who held the belt for long periods of time. Like, the greats that we'd name from when we were growing up, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, like, those guys have held the belt combined less times than John Cena has held it. And that for me tells you where wrestling kind of fell off the cliff. The belt became less valuable. And, like, I don't like the idea of the belt being defended on Raw. It should never be defended on Raw. It should only ever be defended on pay-per-views. But there's far too many pay-per-views now as well. Like, we don't need a... Now I like it that, you know, Raw has a pay-per-view every 2 months, SmackDown the same. So those belts, for me, shouldn't be getting defended on TV. They should be defended once every 2 months. Now, obviously, when it comes to the major pay-per-views, they're going to be brought in together, and that's okay. Maybe then you defend the title 6-8 times a year. I think that puts more prestige on it. A little bit, like, more, bringing it more towards, like, boxing, MMA. You don't see, you know, titles being defended every 2 weeks. And when you do, and you see it being flipped on TV, you just wonder, like, what's the actual point? Like, why am I going to pay for pay-per-view if I can just watch SmackDown and there's the title's going to change hands? Even the IC and US titles. I don't mind so much the tag titles. It's traditional that they change hands on TV. But the major titles, the three main titles, well, four main titles we have now, they should only be defended or change hands on pay-per-views. They shouldn't be changing hands on, you know, regular scheduled television. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, the less we see the titles defended on TV, the more they mean, the more special it becomes. So it's, yeah.
If the world titles were only to be defended on at Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, I'd be more than fine with that. Because then you can build proper matches and make that title seem like it's legit, make that title seem like it's worth something more than, you know, more than the IC belt where it gets flipped just as many times.
Like, but in the old days, that's exactly what happened. Sorry, Dave. I mean, in the old days, that's exactly what happened. I mean, the days when it was only 4 pay-per-views per year, those were the only shows that we ever saw that those titles defended on.
Yeah, and the Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, that's right. We never saw them defended on Superstars of Wrestling or Wrestling Challenge or Primetime Wrestling. You know, we saw promos and matches to lead up to these title matches. So they meant something special. And, yeah. You know, if titles are booked properly, then, you know, they can be something that shifts the needle in terms of selling subscriptions to the WWE network or even, I mean, these shows are still sold on pay-per-view and there are people that still buy these on pay-per-view and, you know, it can shift more pay-per-view buys too. So, you know, it costs them money by devaluing their own belts. And,
yeah,
you know,
why not have a Fastlane being headlined by some match for the US title that they've been building for 2 months? Why not have that? Why not have, like, the tag titles the same? Matches that they've built over a couple of months that there's actually people are invested in, that there's a proper, like, written out, thought out storyline has gone into. Well, why are these guys facing? Oh, they're faced because for the last 2 months, this, and this has happened. You know, like, we're going to see matches at Fastlane that don't make any difference to anybody. Like, Sami Zayn against Samoa Joe. Like, that's a match that doesn't matter to anybody. Other than the fact that it's going to be, you know, Joe's first pay-per-view on the main roster. They've had a couple of little run-ins on Raw, and then they had a blowout on Monday. But it's not a match that means anything. There's not going to be any program between the two of them, unless they run it into Mania, which they might, just to have Joe do something. But it's the same as, like, the Sami Zayn, Braun Strowman, you know, nonsense that they had going on for weeks. Well, here's a big guy with nothing to do and a small guy with nothing to do. Let's throw them together. The big guy will beat the piss out of him. But we're not going to make it mean anything. Like, Sammy's not going to go anywhere. He's not going to elevate after he fights this guy. And Strowman's not going to, you know, have his path changed. Now he's just in a card with Reigns. And when he loses to Reigns at Fastlane, Strowman's just going to go back into the mix again. And Reigns will just continue on the same course. It's not going to elevate him anywhere.
Well, just moving on to Fastlane then. I mean, pretty much agree that Raw wasn't spectacular. I mean, we can start with that match anyway. I mean, that was, you know, that was how they brought to Raw to a close with them two. The contract signing, trying to make it a big deal, and let's face it, it's not particularly a big deal. If the rumours are true that Roman Reigns is actually going to be pairing up with The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Could we see something happen here at Fastlane where the Undertaker makes an appearance as to cost Roman Reigns the match, thereby Strowman goes over, keeps his momentum going, but Roman Reigns is also protected in the mix?
I don't think Strowman should go over. I think Reigns has to win this match and build, you know, and come out of it looking strong, so that either he walks out on Monday night and calls out Taker, or Taker appears and calls him out. Because if he interferes and Strowman wins, like, it's just going to knock some of the gleam off it. And, you know, like, Taker's another one. Like, you shouldn't be facing The Undertaker coming off a loss. You should be going into a Taker match looking strong. That for me is a title match in itself, facing The Undertaker, especially at Mania. So I'd rather see Reigns win, and then either the lights go down and Taker comes out, or they just do it the next night on Raw. But I don't want to see Taker interfere and cost Reigns. It'd be very WWE to do it, but I'd rather see Reigns win in, like, the John Cena fashion, where he gets his ass kicked for a little while, then mounts the comeback and wins. And then the lights can go down and Taker can come out and they can stare off, and then come Monday they set the match up. But this isn't one where it needs to have Taker come out and interfere. Like, they planted the seed at Mania, and Taker can just walk out on after the fight or on Monday and just say, look, you cost me the chance to go to Mania and fight for the title. So now I'm here to tell you that you're facing me at Mania, and that's your punishment. Like, that to me is enough.
What about you then, Mo? Do you feel like it's important here, whether it's Reigns or Strowman that goes over, or do they throw Undertaker into the mix?
I think there'll be some hint of, some element of Undertaker presence, but I think the actual outcome of the match will be inconclusive. I see it possibly ending in a double count out, or a disqualification win for one or the other, but not a conclusive finish, because, I mean, Dave's right. They need to protect Reigns if he's to be the opponent for The Undertaker going into WrestleMania. But at the same time, they're clearly trying to protect Braun Strowman. They clearly see something in him, or maybe Vince specifically see something in him, and don't want him to job in a match like this just yet. So, if any of these matches are not going to finish conclusively, I think it's this one. And, you know, whether it's the next night on Raw or possibly after the match, I agree that there'll be some hint of a setup for the Undertaker match for one of the two to set up for WrestleMania.
Yeah, a distinct possibility of a no finish in that one. What about, move over to the women, and again, you know, there's so many rumours, it's such as the wrestling industry, but the talk of a four-way at WrestleMania between Sasha Banks, Nia Jax, Charlotte and Bayley. Well, you know, we're going to see them four facing off in two singles matches at Fastlane. Sasha Banks once again up against Nia Jax, and then Bayley against Charlotte. What about them two more? I mean, I think it's almost a prerequisite now that we expect Charlotte to win because it's a pay-per-view.
That's right, absolutely. She'll be the heavy favourite. And the fact that we've had the title change on TV yet again sets things up nicely for Charlotte to win. I think this should be, what, her fourth title reign or fifth title win if she does win over Bayley. So, you know, and obviously they're pushing this pay-per-view streak for Charlotte as well. That she's undefeated on pay-per-view, and she's something like 15 or 16 to zero in terms of her record. So I'd be very surprised if Bayley walks away as a champion. Charlotte almost certainly will win the belt. As for the other match, the way it's been booked has suggested that Nia is just way too strong for Sasha Banks, which suggests to me that Sasha will get a win of some description in this one, because, you know, Sasha, since she's come in, has been looked after pretty well, but you know, it'd be unusual for them to have her squashed in such a fashion repeatedly, and then in this big singles contest for her to lose clean again. So I think Sasha will win, Charlotte will win, but the thing we've speculated all along is there'll be a four-way match between these four at WrestleMania, and I'm still sure that that'll be the case.
Yeah. What about yourself then, Dave? Are you the same? You expect Charlotte to go over here and more likely that Sasha Banks somehow sneaks a win over Nia Jax?
Yeah, and I hate what they're doing with the women's division. Like I said earlier, it wasn't strong enough or deep enough to split it between two brands. And we'll be seeing the fifth reign of Charlotte Flair within a year, I might add. She won her first title April 3rd of last year. This will be five title reigns in a year, which is just ridiculous and completely takes away any legitimacy that title has when you consider that she's also lost it four times. So this will be the ninth title reign since they introduced this belt. And like, that's just stupid. Like, there's no rhyme or reason for that. Charlotte's going to win, and she's going to come out and Raw and say, I've never lost at a pay-per-view, blah, blah, blah. And then all four are going to troop to the ring, or the other three are going to troop to the ring, and they're going to set up some four-way at Mania. It's what's going to happen. And it'll be the one that Charlotte loses, I imagine, will be at Mania. It'll be her first pay-per-view loss. But, you know, she's going to beat Bayley. There's going to be some sort of stupid outside interference, either from, you know, that little clone that she has walking around with her, or Nia Jax will come out, or, you know, maybe they throw a little bit of a swerve and Sasha comes out, tries to help Bayley, ends up costing her the title, and then that sets them up for Mania, and then Charlotte is left with Nia Jax. Like, Nia Jax is one of those that I don't enjoy watching, kind of like the Big Show and all those other, you know, big slow moving buildings of human beings. I'm not in any way interested in either of these two matches because we've seen them. Like, we've seen Bayley against Charlotte now, what, five times? Bayley's only been on the main roster a couple of months. We've seen Nia Jax against Sasha a bunch of times. We don't need to continually see these matches. I don't like the way they do these things where they have them face each other like 10 times. And then they put it at a pay-per-view. No, but this is a pay-per-view. Like, it's horseshit. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that's it. You know, there's something like about 18 to 20 pay-per-views a year now. And you've got five hours of live television every week to fill. And we are just seeing the same matches over and over and over again. It's just so much overexposure. It is hurting the talent. And then the title in the process, the titles have been hurt as well. And yeah, I mean, Charlotte's on course to eclipse her father's title reign within 3 years. So
yeah,
it's not smart, is it? It really is not smart.
No, and it's overexposed for, like, I'm not a big fan of Charlotte. I can appreciate why a lot of people are, but like, it's the overexposure of her, and I don't think she's ready for it. This is a girl who only got into the business about 4 years ago. I don't think she's ready to be someone you have on TV, you know, every single week. Not just Matt wrestling. Wrestling's fine, but she has the microphone in her hand every single week. And I just don't see that she's ready for that. For me, when she speaks, she's a hybrid of her dad and Stephanie McMahon. I don't know who Charlotte Flair is. When she speaks, she comes across as basically Stephanie McMahon doing an impression of Ric Flair or vice versa. And for me, it's hurting her. It's hurting the division. They screwed this up with the brand extension. There should have been one women's division. Even if you're going to switch it, like split it across the two, leave it with one champion and have them roll between both brands. I said at the time it should have been the same for the world title, you know, and all the belts. Yeah. One champion.
Put
the US champion on one brand, put the IC champion on the other, and they're your main guys on those brand, and then the champion oversees it at everything. He's the one that oversees the whole lot and comes in, and he's picking his opponents, or his opponents are, you know, elevating themselves for him, and he's facing a raw guy, you know, one pay-per-view, and then two pay-per-views later, he's facing a SmackDown guy. Same with the women's title. We're seeing it too often. 9 title changes in a year, even if it's just the 8, even if Bayley holds on to it, 8 title changes in a year is a farce. And I think there's already been 4 title reigns with the SmackDown women's title. I think I'm right with that. 2 for Alexa, 1 for Becky Lynch, and 1 for Naomi. So 4. So in the last year, we've had 12 different women's champions. Like, what? The women's division isn't strong anyway. There's maybe 5 or 6.
There's a calendar there, Dave. There's a calendar for you.
There is. That's it. It's 1 a month. And it's ridiculous. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. There isn't a strong... It's the weakest of all the divisions. And I'd include the tag team division. I think the tag team division is now stronger than the women's division. Like, and on SmackDown, you've got basically 4 girls who could compete for the title. You could say Natalya and Nikki as well. That's 6. And on Raw, there's 4. That's 10. Across 2 brands? Are you kidding me? Like, that's insane. They're just, it's not deep enough to do a split. And if it was, like, if they just left it on 1 and they were having all these title changes, that's fine, because you might have 8 different champions over that time. But instead, we've had 4 on Raw in 8. 4. Sasha's had 3, Bayley's had 1, Charlotte's had 4 titles, and then we've had 3. 2 for Alexa, 1 for Nikki, or 1 for Becky, and 1 for... It's just stupid. Like, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
Dave, I do have to... Yeah, I agree that it's ludicrous to have a split female division. It just kills, you know, the momentum that could have been created by them moving away from, you know, the outdated Divas kind of division.
I don't know how true this is, Mo, but I read somewhere that the original plan was for the women's title to stay on Raw under Stephanie. It was going to be like her thing, but that because they decided to put Cena on SmackDown to boost obviously the quality of their roster, Nikki had to go to SmackDown. So the SmackDown women's division was basically created as a vehicle for Nikki Bella. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it does sound plausible to me that they would do that.
Yeah, I don't think that is. I think that might have been a rumor, because since the brand split, Cena's hardly appeared on SmackDown, and he spent most of the time away working on other projects or dealing with injuries or whatever. And by the same token, Nikki's not been around all the time since then as well. But yeah, it's just been a failure. And it's just with her, it's held back the division when it could have been making real strides. And I do think that under Charlotte is the main star of the women's division across the both brands. You know, it has made progress from what it was, which was just a card filler. And the likes of Charlotte and Sasha are certainly more over than some of the others, like Nikki Bella, were in recent years. But you know, this whole brand split for the women's division is not doing any favours whatsoever.
It's a real shame as well when you look at the amount of the depth of talent. Now, when you're talking in-ring talent, you know, what these girls can do in the ring, you know, they've got some pure wrestlers there now, to a depth that they never, ever had, really. You know, you go back to where they talk about the glory years, and really it was between sort of 3 or 4 that were having really good matches. Now that they've got like half a dozen at least that can put on really good matches here, you know, yeah, and it's a shame, isn't it, though, that what you could be looking at then is one really strong, you know, women's roster. But instead of splitting it down, we've got two, I mean, not quite weak, but pretty thin rosters.
But like, there hasn't been a title match for the Raw Women's Championship without Charlotte yet. Has there? I don't think there has.
No, you're right.
That, for me, is a problem. Like, take her out of some of these matches. Take her out of the mix. Yeah, give her something else to do. She is massively overexposed, and it's hurting her. And as a result, it's hurting the women's division, because she's meant to be the main person in it. Personally, I'd love to see Bayley and Sasha go one-on-one. in, you know, that 30-minute Iron Woman match that they had between Charlotte and Sasha, like, that was a really good match. But I'd like to see a match now between Bayley and Sasha that's built similarly and given the same sort of, you know, scope to work with it. Take Charlotte out of some of these, give her a different focus for a little while. I don't know what it would be. I don't really care what it would be. At the moment, they're limited on what it can be because, like I said, there's only four women who are going to be in the mix on Raw. So unless they have Nia Jax come in and cost Charlotte this match at Fastlane, and then that becomes Charlotte's, you know, point of attention is that she goes off and has a program with Nia Jax, which leaves Bayley and Sasha to headline to be the women's match at Mania for the title. I don't see how they get Charlotte out of the title mix, or any of them really, because there's just not enough talent there. There's only four of them who are going to be taken seriously in that thing, unless they bring up some of the women from NXT, which is obviously, you know, a probability after Mania.
That's a problem for them because there's only one in NXT that's ready to be brought in, and that's Asuka. Yeah. The rest are nowhere near. They're probably a couple of years away from being ready.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you bring Asuka up, and then all of a sudden the women's division in NXT is absolutely screwed.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's all these problems that the brand split had. But moving on from the women, anyway, and something you alluded to was the tag team titles. It's Gallows and Anderson defending against Enzo Amore and Big Cass. Moore, where do you see this one going?
Well, this week we saw Big Cass get quite an easy win over Luke Gallows. So for me, that was a hint that the champions will retain. Gallows and Anderson waited very patiently throughout last year, getting squashed repeatedly by the New Day before, obviously, they beat Cesaro and Sheamus for the belts recently. And I think that they might have a decent run with the belts. Cass and Enzo are a good, you know, undercard to act. I mean, they've got their kind of gimmick and their promos, and that's moderately over. Well, in some weeks, it's very over. But as the kind of focal point of the tag division in the ring, you know, I don't think they're quite there. So I don't see them becoming the champions just yet. And, I think they've got a bit of way to go in the ring to really be considered a viable champion. So I think the champions will retain.
And what about yourself, Dave? You see Anderson and Gallows retaining here, or the possibility of somehow this going on towards Mania and including Sheamus and Cesaro to make it a three-way?
And I think you've got to put the New Day into that mix as well, surely, because, like...
Well, they're going to be the host of WrestleMania, apparently.
They are, but I think it's just... I think you have to have them. Or you bring in Rusev and what's-his-face, Mahal, and bring them into the title mix as well. It's obviously you're not going to run two heel teams against each other, but if you've got two face teams and two heel teams, you could do a decent four-way. I don't see Enzo and Cass winning this. I don't really see that being a tag team that's going to last a whole lot longer. I can see a split between them in the next few months where Cass maybe just gets a little tired of Enzo's mouth and kicks his head off. And they set Cass on his way as a singles competitor. I've said since the day he came into NXT, I think they're building him up to be the next Diesel. When they had Diesel first, they put him with Michaels. Now, Michaels is obviously much, much better than Enzo will ever be, but Enzo's ability to talk is what has him in the ring. He's not a particularly good worker, but he's great on the mic. I think they'll eventually split them, send Cass on his way, and I think they're going to elevate him to be one of the top stars. I do think in 2 to 3 years, he's going to be one of the top guys in the WWE.
Yeah, so we see Gallows and Anderson retaining here, and perhaps even a little seed being planted of Big Cass beginning to get a little frustrated or something along those lines.
Yeah, and it's good to see Gallows and Anderson finally having the title run. They came in with a lot of hype. They were obviously brilliant in Japan. They've been around a long time. You know, Gallows
just need to stop saying dweebs.
They do. They need to stop dweebs and nerds and geeks. Yeah. Like, it just stop. Take the microphone away from Luke Gallows, because every time he opens his mouth, it just gets cringeworthy. Leave the microphone in Anderson's hand. He's not great on the mic, but he's solid. And let what they do in the ring tell the story, because they're very, very good in the ring. They're a very good tag team. They've got great chemistry. They transition really well. And like, I'd like to see them now get a decent run with these belts, because again, these belts have kind of jumped around. Like, the New Day had them for over a year, but then it sort of jumped around a little bit too quickly for me. If Sheamus and Cesaro were to get the titles for a run, they should have gotten a prolonged run, not just a couple of months. There's no real point in them still being together if they're not champions, in my view.
Yeah, it is a shame to see these titles, as well as all the others, moving around far too much. Sticking with title matches, though, Neville defending the Cruiserweight Championship against Jack Gallagher. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm really looking forward to this one. Particularly enjoying Neville since his heel turn anyway. He's been great. And just such a big fan of Jack Gallagher. I think not just how the two personalities have clashed and how they've kind of played that out, but just what these two will put together in the ring more. I'm actually really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, as am I. Gallagher's great, isn't he? Very different, unique character in the WWE. Neville, you know, he's a very good worker, very acrobatic, and it's great to see. I think what would be the first all-British title match in the history of the WWE. I might be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. With the exception, obviously, of the WWE UK Championship, which was recently crowned. I think that this will go the way of Neville. I think he will retain, purely for the fact that I think there will be a title change in the main event, and I've already predicted a title change for the Raw Women's Championship, and I don't see there being three title changes. And I think that they might just hold off on a Gallagher title win, possibly for Mania. I think that they really like Gallagher, and will like to put the title in at some point, but I think Neville will retain for now. But I mean, there's a kind of a wider problem with the Cruiserweight division, in that it's just completely dead on the Raw brand. And you know, just as we talked about how splitting the women's division and the tag team divisions was a mistake, well, I think putting the Cruiserweight Cruiserweight division over onto the Raw brand has been a complete disaster, because it's not over on that brand in the slightest. And the fact that the Cruiserweight matches are barely getting 2 minutes on the show now suggests that, you know, they're bombing the ratings as well, which is why they're in and out of the ring before you know it. So the sooner that they have a brand extension and move the Cruiserweights over to SmackDown, which I always felt, which was a better fit for them, the better, really.
Yeah, I was always against them being on Raw, because you could see this happening from a mile away. I've got to say, I think they'll hold off on Jack Gallagher for possibly a bit longer, because I think what we're looking at is Austin Aries and Neville at WrestleMania. Dave, what about yourself? Your thoughts on Neville against Jack Gallagher?
I 100% agree with you. I think we're looking at Aries against Neville. Like, this 205 division has saved Neville's WWE career, because it was completely dead beforehand. It was going absolutely nowhere. They had no idea how to use him. They had no good storylines for him. This has revived him. But, like Mo said, they've completely screwed it, because, like, 205 Live is fantastic. It's a lot of fun to watch. But the Cruiserweight matches on Raw are a complete waste of time. They don't benefit anybody. They certainly don't benefit the two guys in the ring, because literally it's taken them longer to walk from their dressing room to the ring and then back again than they're actually getting in the ring. And that's just not fair. So either take them off SmackDown and Raw completely and just have it as 205 Live, and try and push that or shift the whole thing across to SmackDown, because the way, especially given the head writer of SmackDown is the guy who was the head writer of NXT, I think he'll have a lot more use for them. I think he'll find ways to use them in clever segments and give them more time.
I think not only that, Dave, but actually having them on SmackDown, the roster on SmackDown is so thin that they get overexposed on TV.
Well,
who wouldn't like to see
AJ Styles against Neville? Who wouldn't like to see AJ Styles against Austin Aries?
Yeah, but having one or two cruiserweight matches in that two-hour show of SmackDown means that you don't have to see the same people headlining SmackDown every single week.
Exactly.
And it keeps them all fresh in the process. I think for me, it's just the ideal fit.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely perfect. It's what should have happened from the beginning. Like, if you wanted to split the tag titles across both, that's fine, then put the women on Raw and the Cruiserweights on SmackDown. And then maybe that's what they should do now, just swap it out, you know, a big trade or something where the Cruiserweights go to SmackDown and the women off. Now, the only problem with that, obviously, is that Nikki's not going to go... and Maryse is not going to go because Cena and The Miz are on SmackDown. So there's a logistical problem there, but they have to get the entire Cruiserweight thing away from Raw and either just have it as 205 Live or have it as 205 plus SmackDown or 205 plus NXT. Find something better to do with it, because it was a brilliant idea, but they're screwing it up because they're WWE, and that's pretty much what they do, is screw things up.
I don't think there's an issue for Maryse, because she's effectively just a valet anyway. But if the rumours are true with Nikki calling it a day after WrestleMania, I think it becomes a whole lot easier to say, we'll unify the women's divisions back together as one, and then they can have a big unification match, and that all looks great. Mm. Yeah, and get the Cruiserweights over to SmackDown, shorter show, less exposure. I think it's just a better fit, and will be beneficial for both shows in the process.
The other one I forgot is Naomi, because the Usos are on SmackDown. She's not going to want to be on Raw.
Well, they can always swap a tag team around.
They could, and that'd be very... And look, I'd love to see the Usos back on Raw, I think, because the Usos, in what they're doing now, this heel version of the Usos, I think, is quite fun. We've all been calling for Reigns to turn heel for, what? How long has this podcast been going, Mo? A year and a half? More?
Coming up to 2 years in the summer. Yeah, 18 months now.
So put Reigns with the Usos as a heel unit, let them run. It would make more sense. Even just put all the tag teams across. Just put them all on Raw. And just put the Cruiserweights on SmackDown. I'd rather watch the Cruiserweights than most of them. I watch 205 live every week. I watch the ones on download the next day or 2 days later or whatever. But 205 live and NXT I watch live, because they're the most enjoyable to watch.
When they talked about the brand extension, and we were talking about it on this podcast, my feeling always was that SmackDown should be the more wrestling orientated show, whereas Raw should be the one that's more aimed at the casual viewers that are more interested in storylines and interviews and things like that, which has less emphasis on the in-ring.
And the big names that they know.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And, you know, they clearly didn't do that, and they didn't have enough differentiation between the brands. I think they've got to press the reset button after WrestleMania, because, you know, after WrestleMania, unless they come up with really big ideas, the ratings will, I think, start to go down. And, you know, the way things are going, come NFL season starting in September, you know, ratings for Raw will hit an all-time low, the lowest that they've ever been in the 20 by then 4 year history of the show. And, you know, that's a very poor place for them to be in. So, you know, they've got to really start coming up with clever ideas, more than just switching titles every couple of weeks, to reverse, the pattern in the ratings.
Yeah, well, WCW used to switch the titles, didn't they, every other week, and it works well for a very short space of time because you're not used to seeing it, but that quickly dissipates, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. But the other things that worked really well for them were Goldberg's long unbeaten streak because people got invested, the NWO just wiping everybody out because people got invested. So those two long-term storylines worked brilliantly, and they're what drove them to beat Monday Night Raw in the ratings. And then it was when they started fucking about and throwing the titles around left, right, and centre, and you had like the finger poke and all that kind of nonsense. That's what killed them. And like, WWE are never going to go away, most likely, because of the network and whatever else. So even if they did, you know, have to cut down to, say, you know, 3 hours of television a week or whatever, they'll always find a home. Vince will find a home for it on TV. So they're never going to go away the way WCW did, also because there's nobody there to buy them out the way Vince did with WCW. But like Mo said, when football season comes back, and of course around that time as well, you start getting towards the baseball playoffs, and then the NBA season comes back, and hockey starts back, and it's a lot of competition that they're going to have to go up against, and those numbers are going to drop, and they were low last year, and if they go much lower, I mean, they brought back Shane because the numbers were lower. I don't think there's another McMahon hiding out there that we're all waiting to hear come back. What are they going to do? Bring back Austin? Bring back The Rock? The Rock won't come back. Austin might come back in some sort of commissioner role, the way they brought Foley back. But these are all desperation moves that they've made, bringing back Shane, bringing back Daniel Bryan, bringing back Mick Foley. Like, these weren't moves that were made because things were going well. These were things that the brand split as well. These were things that were done because it wasn't working. And, you know, whether it was a worker or not, when Shane walked out that first night, he said he was back because Raw was crap and the ratings were in the toilet. And that was two facts. That wasn't just, you know, the scripted spiel that he had to come out with. Those are two facts. And it probably wasn't easy to convince Vince to allow him to walk out and say, I'm here because this sucks and because your ratings are absolutely awful.
A year later and it's still the case.
Yeah. Nuts. Absolutely nuts. Yeah.
Just getting back to Fastlane card then, and we briefly mentioned it, but Sami Zayn against Samoa Joe then, Dave. I know that you said, you know, you're not particularly looking, you know, you're not...
Joe's going to beat him.
You're not excited by it. Yeah, the build to it is not exactly exciting, but no. I'm looking forward to it purely that I think it'll be a really good match to watch.
It'll be a fun match. If this had been built properly, this could be a great match that I'd really be invested in. But we know what's going to happen is that Joe's going to win because they're not going to have him come back and take Rollins out and then lose to Sami Zayn. I'm sure the original plan was that he'd face Rollins at this pay-per-view. So Sami's just been drafted in. I don't know. Like, it for me, it's another botched opportunity with the way they brought Joe back. I understand bringing him back, having him jump Rollins, but obviously the injury's unfortunate. But there's other ways to do it. He was well known enough that they could have done with him what they did with Styles. People were excited by Styles because of TNA. Like, I know he'd been to Japan, but he made his name in TNA. Everyone knew Joe. Like, Joe's not a secret. He's been on NXT now for, 2 years? He'd been on TNA, he'd been in Ring of Honor. Everybody knows Samoa Joe. There was a way they could have done this properly. Like, look at when they brought KO out first against Cena. Everybody already knew who the guy was from NXT and Ring of Honor. They didn't need to bring him out and have him, like, jump Rollins. They could have had him walk out behind Rollins and Triple H say, you want to get me, go through him. They could have done it properly, and they didn't. And it cost them Seth Rollins. Now, I know he was out on Raw saying, oh, the doctors won't clear. Like, there's no way he's at Mania. There's not a chance. That guy tore his ACL again. He's not at Mania. Let's stop playing about. He won't be there. If he is, it's utterly ridiculous that they're allowing him to risk his career. But they could have done the Joe thing better. And they're screwing it with this. Like, the Cesaro thing on Monday and now Zayn. It doesn't work for me.
Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe then. I mean, Sami Zayn had an incredible match with Shinsuke Nakamura last year at the TakeOver in Dallas. Do you think we could see something similar here in terms of the style, you know, with Joe being that sort of hard-hitting, brutal style as well? You know, they could structure a similar kind of match where, you know, Zayn comes out of it looking strong despite taking the loss.
I don't think this match will be as good as that one. Possibly nowhere close, but I still think this will be the match of the night at Fastlane, which isn't saying much because of the matches on the card, I don't think any more than a couple of them will be really good matches. I think only this one and possibly Charlotte against Bayley will be pretty good or really good. Neville against Gallagher has the potential, if they were given time, to have a really good match, but I don't think they'll be given adequate time to have a good one. So that's why I think Sammy and Samoa Joe will have the best match. But I agree with Dave. Joe has to win this one. I'm certain he will. They've clearly brought him in and putting him over strong. And I think it will really be after WrestleMania that his career will, certainly in terms of the main roster, will start to take more clear direction. At this moment in time, you know, things have been messed about some by the unfortunate injury to Rollins. I think if he hadn't got injured, then Joe and Rollins would certainly be involved in a pretty strong storyline leading up to the inevitable match between Triple H and Rollins at WrestleMania. But as Dave suggests, you know, that's looking increasingly likely, almost uncertain to happen at WrestleMania. And if that's the case, they'll have to come up with a different idea between now and then for Samoa Joe. But Sami Zayn, you know, I think he will lose this. And, you know, if they do decide to have a shuffle around of the brands after WrestleMania, you know, he'd be a prime choice to go with. Yeah, he'd be ideal for that brand.
Please. Put him back on NXT. Like, he's just wasted on Raw. He is now where Neville was a couple of months ago. Absolutely wasted. Been put in matches that don't make any sense from just so he can job to whichever big, angry person Vince wants. Like, don't get me wrong, Joe's a great worker, but this just doesn't make sense. Like, Sammy could make Cruiserweight. I think he weighs 210. You could have him go on a diet and get to 205 and put him in the Cruiserweight division and think of the matches he'd have there. Like, he'd be phenomenal. I know they brought him into the main roster, the feud with Owens, but he's too good to be in the position he's in. He's too good of a worker to be in this position. They need to find a better way to use him. And he's not the only one. Like, maybe put him as part of a tag team. That could work really well because it's done well for Cesaro.
Put the IC title on him. Get him over on SmackDown and put the IC title on him. Workers' title.
The thing with Sami Zayn is in some ways he's almost like the heir apparent to Daniel Bryan. You know, he's this plucky underdog that has this likability to him. And you can see the fans really want to get into him and really root for him. But the way he's been booked, it's like that of a complete loser. And, you know, I think if given the right environment, i.e. SmackDown, then, you know, he can really get over and fill that kind of gap that, you know, Daniel Bryan's left behind that nobody's filled thus far.
And think of the programs and the matches you could have between him and Ambrose. Like, Ambrose has been in a bit of a funk in terms of his work for quite a while now. I don't think his work has been where it needs to be. And I know he's a better worker than what we're seeing. I think Sammy could be the guy who drags it out of him, because when he worked with AJ, there was a couple of matches that they had where you really saw signs of what Ambrose can do. I think Sammy's never quit, you know, fight till you drop attitude is very similar to what they have Ambrose doing. You throw those two guys together, that could be a hell of a program. And like you say, that title is meant to be the worker's title. That's for the best worker. So having two faces go up against you, there isn't really a big issue. Start putting a focus on it. have someone come out and say, you know what, this IC title hasn't been used properly. They tried to do it a few years back with Cody Rhodes, if you remember when he unveiled the white belt, and he talked about how it used to stand for this, this, and this, and then that had gotten lost. Do it properly now. Like, actually do it properly. Make it seem like something. Do the same with the US title, because that's what its function's meant to be on Raw. The fact that Jericho's gone into hiding with it at the moment is a bit bizarre, but, you know, those titles are meant to serve a purpose, and right now, it's not serving a purpose. Ambrose is having a decent run of things with it on SmackDown, and I think the Corbin series will be interesting, but they're going to use it to elevate Corbin. They're going to put it on Corbin, and while I like Corbin, he's not a great worker. Like, he's good, he's solid, but he's not a great worker, and they're using it as a vehicle, and what they've done for the last few years, they've used it as a vehicle to just promote these younger guys, these big guys, into the main event, into the world title picture, but that's not what the purpose of it is. Like, when I was growing up, you had, like, Ricky Steamboat was a great IC champion, Mr. Perfect was a great IC champion, Texas Tornado was a good IC champion, Bret Hart, when he was first coming in, Shawn Michaels, before he really exploded.
Rick Rude,
like, and he was brilliant, and, like, Warrior beat him then, and then that elevated him to Hogan, but that was, like, aside from what they'd always done. Like, Piper was a really good IC champion, and guys like those, who, they're not main event, you know, world title guys, but they're guys you could build a solid pay-per-view around, or they're guys you could have coming out as your opening match at Mania and setting the stage and saying to every other person in that dressing room, right, that's what we've just done. Now go out and beat that. And it elevates the bar, because right now the bar is set too low, but you start getting those belts like Benoit, a name that's cancer around the WWE now, but that guy as Intercontinental Champion, as a curtain jerker, was unbelievable. And I remember hearing, like, old wrestlers say that when you got to the building and you saw the card written out for the night, Benoit was on first, you were just like, I am absolutely screwed, because that guy's going to have the night of the match as the first match on. And that's what we need to find with the WWE now, with that IC title, is somebody who can walk out first match, set the bar high, and everybody else, because they have the talent. Like, they don't have the elite names now that they had 10, 15, 20 years ago, but I think the overall level of talent, the overall ability of these guys to work, is better than what it's been maybe ever in terms of
absolutely
depth.
Ever.
But they're just not using it correctly, because, and every single one of those guys came through Ring of Honor. Every single one of them who should be in that mix came through Ring of Honor.
Yeah, the brand split has absolutely held the company back full stop, because there's so many great talents, in-ring workers in Raw, SmackDown, and even a few on NXT, who the problem is they've all been segregated. So, you know, we're seeing the same three or four or five wrestle against each other week after week on their own specific brands. Whereas if they're all together on one brand, then, you know, the combinations that you can have from week to week means that you're only seeing them wrestle each other three or four times a year, perhaps, rather than...
That's it. But think of it this way, Mo. If you put the title belt, the IC title belt, on Cesaro, are you telling me you wouldn't tune in every single week to see him face guys like Sami Zayn, like Seth Rollins, like Kevin Owens? You know, all these incredible workers that we Neville,
Austin Aries,
Dean Ambrose, the list goes on and on. And he's the type of guy, I think Cesaro's phenomenal. He's the type of guy that can have different types of matches with all these different types of guys. And then he drops the belt to Zayn. And then Zayn has all these types of different matches with these different guys. And then, say, he drops it to... Like, Owens and Rollins are in the main mix now, so we take them out of it. But there's a bunch of these guys. And, like, Robert Roode, he's another guy that should be in this mix. He's a very good worker. Put him in this mix. Get him off NXT. And Shinsuke, like, he shouldn't still be in NXT. Why is he still on NXT? Like, because he doesn't speak English well enough? That's a stupid reason. Put him with someone who'll speak for him.
In the ring, he's as good as anyone in the whole company.
As anybody
I think
in the
he's
world.
Coming up after Mania.
Get him with a Paul Heyman type. Put him with someone with a mouth. And let them do the talking and let him kick someone's ass. And that will work. That will sell.
Yeah, he can be the next Heyman guy.
That'd be interesting. There's only one match left, and I mean, we've already spoke about it, which is, of course, Kevin Owens against Goldberg. I mean, like you say, we've mentioned that one. We've given your thoughts on who you think's going to go over. Likelihood, though, Mo, do you think this is going to be more than sort of 5 minutes?
No. I don't think it... I mean, if it is, I'd be surprised. I think it'll be longer than, obviously, the match between Goldberg and Lesnar from a few months ago, but I think it will be kept short, as is typical for Goldberg matches. And I think we will, as Dave suggested earlier in the show, see a title change. I've been predicting it since before the Royal Rumble that I expected Goldberg to win the belt. Pretty much, in fact, around the time I think that he cut that promo about. Immediately after beating Lesnar, talking with Stephanie and talking about whether he had one more title run in him. And that for me was the clue there that, yeah, they're going to put the title in him at least once. And it, for me, it makes eminent sense because he's beaten Lesnar twice now and he's eliminated Lesnar from the Rumble. So just Lesnar getting one victory over Goldberg isn't enough. There has to be more to it than that. And the only thing that can compensate for those two losses and that elimination is the title as well as the victory. And so on that basis, it has to be Goldberg walking away with the Universal Championship.
Yeah, I mean, there's talk of, I mean, people have said, oh, what about if Lesnar cost Goldberg the title? But when you think about that logically, that doesn't make any sense because that would be Lesnar costing himself a shot at the title at WrestleMania. So, exactly. You know, in pure logic sense, I know obviously this is real. It's, you know, it is predetermined and all that. But as a pure logic storyline, why on earth would anyone want to cost themselves an opportunity? So I don't see Lesnar getting involved in this. And yeah, unfortunately, yeah, I think we're looking at a title change.
Yeah, same. And it'll be under 5 minutes, which goes to just show how stupid they've booked all the titles in recent years. I mean, Owens has been champion for 6 months, and they're going to take it off him in probably about 4 minutes at you know, a secondary pay-per-view. Which, you know, it's great that he's not the typical guy they would have put the title on a few years ago. He's not the build or whatever. But he's proof that they're maybe putting ability to work above everything else. The same with Balor, the same with Rollins. But for me, this is just, you know, worst case scenario. They're going to take the belt off him. They're going to put it on Goldberg. And they're going to have Goldberg and Lesnar. And again, like Goldberg-Lesnar, that's not going to be more than 5 minutes at Mania. And that's your headline bout for Mania, is a 4 minute match between two guys, one of whom has had 3 matches in what, 12 years. By then, that'll be his third match and the Rumble, so 4. And the other guy is banned from competing in MMA for taking steroids. His head has grown exponentially over the years. And this is the guy they want to put the belt on. And you're going to try and tell me he's not failing drug tests left and right while you're suspending people for wellness issues. Like, this is everything that's wrong with WWE. Like, there's so much about it that's good. And there's so much about it that it could be great and could be so much fun. But this Goldberg-Lesnar nonsense is everything that's wrong with it. And it just, to me, it's a sack of shit. Get Goldberg off my television. Don't ever let me see Brock Lesnar in the ring. I don't want to see them. I will not watch that match at Mania. I will purposely turn off. And when Twitter tells me it's over, I'll turn back on. Because I just don't want to watch those two guys. Like, I didn't want to watch the first match. And it was, what, 108 seconds or something stupid. The thing is, their first match, go back to their first match at Mania all those years ago, was awful. Awful. These are two guys that couldn't wrestle in their prime. Lesnar came in as he was going to be this big, massive, you know, Kurt Angle, but bigger, and all this horseshit, like, and he has three moves. He's got three moves. And he has lost legitimately once without some sort of interference or, you know, questionable circumstance. He's lost once since he came back, and that was to Goldberg in 108 seconds. Are you kidding me? He's got three moves and he's juiced out of his mind. He's quit MMA, so he's taken off the USADA drug list test, so he can't be randomly tested, so he can just take all the steroids now.
And because he's a part-timer, he's classed as a part-timer in the WWE, the WWE wellness policy only applies to full-time independent contractors, not the part-timers.
So, he's
not even... Yeah.
That's why
he's retired again, hasn't he, from MMA, because he wanted to get back on the gear.
That's it. What age is Brock? Brock is 40, isn't he?
He's turning 40 in a couple of months.
You're a 40-year-old man. The fuck are you still doing taking all these steroids? Who do you think you are, Hulk Hogan? Just stop. Someone needs to stop. Have a word with him, put him out to pasture, tell him to go and raise his kids and live on his farm. He's made more than enough money. He doesn't need the money. So just get him off TV. He hasn't helped the ratings. I don't care if there's a small spike when he's on. He's not on regularly enough to help. And the last fiasco where they had him at when they built that big thing with Randy Orton, and it ended up that he threw an elbow and split Orton's head open and they had to stop the fight. You're not telling me that was scripted. There's no way that was scripted. But that guy's so juiced out of his mind, he couldn't control himself, and he split Orton's head open. And then that was the end of that. That all just disappeared. We won't do this anymore. What?
So there you go, folks. Fastlane should be lots of fun. before we go, thoughts on Beth Phoenix being the next person into the Hall of Fame, Mo?
Thoroughly undeserved. I don't really think she's had a Hall of Fame career by any stretch of the imagination. But the policy is that there has to be a female inductee into the Hall of Fame each year, and.
I thought she was good. She obviously, it's longevity she didn't have. She was only there for a few years. I thought she was good, and unfortunately, she was there at a time when there was very little else to work with.
There was. I mean, she wasn't a bad worker, but I didn't think she was a particularly great worker or even a good worker. I thought she was a better one amongst quite a bunch of poor ones at the time. And, granted she had a couple of title runs and a couple of decent storylines, but, she was really over with the fans, didn't have a catalogue of great matches, didn't really do anything of note. I mean, if you ask me to recall notable things that she did, the only thing that I remember is eliminating the great Kali out of the Rumble. And that's it. and that's probably not what she'd be hoped to be remembered for, but that's all I remember about her. So is that a Hall of Fame career? No, but as we know, with the Hall of Fame in the WWE, there are a lot of people in it who you can argue are not Hall of Fame caliber, but are in there. So
there's lots. I genuinely think if you went through everybody that they've got in the Hall of Fame, you'd probably kick out about 45% of them and just be like, no, there's absolutely no way you should be in there. And she's one of the, I know they, this thing of they have to have a female every year. What's next? Is Kelly Kelly going to be in the Hall of Fame? Or Tori Wilson? Or any one of these, stream of blonde-haired, talentless things that were paraded out in front of us for years? She was in WWE, I think, for 4.5 years. I think that was her run, 4.5 years. Michelle McCool must be next. If she's not already in, Michelle McCool must be next. That's where they're going.
I think that's a good shout for next year, I would imagine.
They've got Edge's wife this year. They'll get Taker's wife next year, then it'll be the Bella twins the following year. Like, yeah. Just like, what? Hall of Fame? Like, this is the Hall of Fame that has Ric Flair and, like, Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and all these great, great, you know, pioneers of the sport. And this is what we're bringing in this year. I don't know. Yeah. Like, for me, the two things that I can remember her doing were eliminating the Great Khali and Glamorella. And aside from that, I think that's actually probably it. She had a stupid pose that she used to do. She wasn't a good worker. She was basically just like a blonde, cheap knockoff of China. Not as talented, not as big, but blonde and a little bit more PC. And I don't see why she's going into the Hall of Fame. I really don't see why she's going into the Hall of Fame. Like, if it comes down, I would rather see Michelle McCool than you know, Beth Phoenix. No offense to Beth Phoenix. I'm sure she's a lovely woman. And, you know, she had a career that she can be proud of. It's not a Hall of Fame career. You know, I'm getting on board the Layla L Hall of Fame 2018 train now, just in case. But, like, you know, like Mickie James just came back. They're someone far more deserving of the Hall of Fame than Beth Phoenix. Like, I don't know. Not the best decision, I would say. But if they have to have a female in, then that's the rule they've made for themselves. It's a stupid rule, and it is a stupid rule. It should be based on career. It's a male-dominated sport. The Hall of Fame is going to be 95-98% male, and that's just how it is. And, you know, it's not no sexist thing at all. It's just that there haven't been that many women who've had great careers, and the ones who have, they're already in.
Well, I'm sure they could delve deep into the history books and maybe find, you know, two or three other names that haven't
yet been
in.
The Jumping Bomb Angels. Get them in there.
Well, that's right. I mean, if they, you know, they are quite open to acknowledge wrestlers who barely or never wrestled in the WWE. And we've seen the likes of Tatsumi Fujinami, Antonio Inoki inducted. Well, you know,
is John pioneers. Baba in yet?
No, he's not in. No, no.
Why is he not in? There's a guy that should have been first ballot Hall of Fame. There you go. That's who goes in. Because that guy, what he did in Japan is one of, you know, that's as big an imprint as anybody has ever made on this business. If it wasn't for him, there'd be no Antonio Inoki. There just, you know, there wouldn't be. So get Giant Baba in or fuck the Hall of Fame off.
You know, there's a lot of people upset that Ivan Kolov, who's one of the most famous WWF champions in history, still isn't inducted, and he passed away a couple of weeks ago. And the fact that he isn't in somebody like Beth Phoenix has been inducted just rubs salt in the wounds of all those Kolov fans.
Who else is going this year?
DDP.
Angle.
DDP, yeah. So yeah. That's fine.
Rock and Roll Express.
That's fine.
Someone else as well, isn't there? There's been another person announced.
Oh,
too.
Teddy Long.
Teddy Long, yes.
What gets the fuck? Teddy Long.
Like, well, I mean, Teddy Long's been involved in the business for a long, long years, many, many years, hasn't he? Through, you know, with behind the scenes, as a ref, as a manager. I think it's kind of acknowledging.
Are we going to put Joey Mercury in then in 5 years?
I think it's kind of acknowledging, you know, the role he's played.
That's,
you know,
fine.
Throughout the years in different places.
Give him a watch.
I can understand you.
Give him a watch. Don't put him in the Hall of Fame.
Anyway, gents, we're out of time for tonight. It's been fun. We've certainly covered a lot of ground. But before we head off, anything you'd like to plug, Dave? I'll let you go first, seeing as you were our guest.
Just All In Sports Talk, the channel. Gennaro runs it, and he does a great job. I appear when I feel like it. I'm doing Football Purists next week with Joel again, so that'll be fun. That's pretty much it for me. I have a couple of other things that are recorded, but there's technical issues as to why I can't release them at the moment. But hopefully that'll all get straightened out fairly soon.
You didn't record them, Dave, did you?
No. No, I had other people record them. And of course, MMA Monthly with me and Mo, phenomenal.
Exactly. Give that one a listen, folks. And more across to yourself, anything that you want to plug?
Yeah, like Dave said, MMA Monthly. We had a pod released 2 or 3 weeks ago. We'll have plenty to talk about in the next one, not least of which the return of GSP will be facing Michael Bisping for the UFC middleweight title, which is a huge, huge fight. So hopefully we'll be able to record that in the next couple of weeks. Beyond that, my first article for Total Wrestling, which I'm returning to after about 12 years away from that magazine, that should be out towards the end of the month. So close to time, I'll give more details about that.
Excellent. Well, that wraps up this. Well, I was going to say this Fastlane preview, but we've gone quite beyond that. But yeah, we've looked ahead to Fastlane and certainly given our thoughts on that and other things in between. But yeah, that wraps things up for this show with this edition of the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. Don't forget, you can, of course, keep in touch with us on Twitter at PW_Index. Might like to add that, yes, we are much more active on there at the moment, and that shall be the thing, the way things are going forward. So please do feel free to get in contact with us. Any questions, anything you'd like to, anything you'd like answered on the show, feel free to get in contact with us at PW_Index. As always, I'd like to thank Mo Chatter for joining me, and of course, we would both like to thank Dave for coming on with us tonight. And we'd all like to thank you, the listeners, for listening and hitting that download button. But until next week, from me, Andy Wells, it's bye-bye now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.